This is Kathy Ann, and I teach second grade in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to School of Practice on Edutopia Radio.
Jeremiah, I want to talk about those last few weeks at the end of the school year. What do you love about them? What's tough about them?
Oof.
Paint the picture.
I'll start with what I love about the end of the school year. We are almost there. The end is in sight. You now know your students. They know you. I feel like this is where I get to have the most fun with them because now like the routines and procedures are set and we get to just like have a good time. I do not enjoy the amount of work that the end of the school year brings. Just, it is nonstop. And I feel like
the
spring
is testing season.
Yeah.
And then your own class has those final assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids are already like, their minds in summer camp already.
Yeah. Exactly. Like they're gone. I'm gone. We all just want to be done. But we still have these like boxes to check. So we're kind of just trying to make it through.
I'm Kristen Leong, an editor at Edutopia. And I'm also a former middle school teacher. This week, we pulled together some really fun and also really meaningful ways to end the school year. You just heard Jeremiah Kim. He taught fourth and fifth grade for almost a decade in Kansas City. And this year, he moved up to teach middle school. So he knows that those last few weeks of school can be the best of times and sometimes the worst. But what if instead of gritting our teeth for those last few weeks, we had a toolkit of activities to help us inject some fun, celebration, and reflection into class? Today, Jeremiah is here to talk through a collection of end-of-year activities created by expert teachers in Edutopia's community. Let's get into it. Jeremiah, when you were teaching fourth and fifth grade, did you have any favorite end-of-the-year activities?
One of my favorite activities to do at the end of the school year is I saw this video on TikTok a really long time ago, and I don't remember the actual like handle of the person who made it, but she did this like PowerPoint presentation of like, so you think you know me like that. Students got a copy of the PowerPoint and they would have to like answer these questions about the teacher.
What was your favorite question to ask your students?
I had one that was like, Mr. Kim is running like late to school. Like, why is he late?
Uh-huh.
And every single one of the slides had something to do with I made a stop to get coffee. And like, that's why I was late. And so I was like, well, I guess it's very abundantly clear that I like coffee.
So your students really do know you. Okay, I'd like to start with celebrations because this is a go-to for many of us at the end of the year. And I really love this elementary school teacher's approach. Alisa Altieri Shea plans one celebration for each week after the regular classroom work routine ends. That sounds like a lot, but she says she keeps her celebrations really simple and she builds them into established class routines.
Do everything you can to keep your structure, routines, schedule, because kids need that predictable place at school. So it's time for math, but you know what? Today we're going outside. We're going to collect pine cones today. And we're going to put them into groups of tens and ones. The kids will see it as a celebration.
Jeremiah, when you were teaching fourth and fifth grade, how did you think about celebrations at the end of the year?
Sometimes I fall into the trap of we have so much to do. I am burnt out. And I think sometimes it's easy to throw a celebration off to the wayside until it's the last day of school. And then it's like, well, we'll just have like everyone bring snacks and we'll watch a movie, you know. Something that I have seen done, one of my coworkers at my old school did this and I thought it was really cool, but she had like a wall of balloons and she had one balloon for each kid. Each balloon had like a number and like some small like gift behind it that like they would pop each day until the last day of the school year. And so each day a random student in the classroom was celebrated by like receiving some sort of candy or something. It was something really small. I remember like her kids would look forward to it every day. They would show up like, who do you think is going to get it today? Who's going to have their balloon pop today? Like who's getting the candy? And so I think even small things like that, free seating day today, or like you get to listen to music while you work today or something like that.
You know, one year I did a countdown chain with my middle schoolers and I didn't think of that as a celebration. But as I'm hearing you kind of reframe what a celebration can be, definitely that was a celebratory moment.
Right.
With construction paper, they made rectangle strips and then they wrote an affirmation on each link and then we stapled them together. And so every day for that last month, the kids would come in and rip off their chain and read the affirmation. And we did it kind of like, oh, guys, this is just a silly thing. It's just a joke. Just like when we were little in elementary school. But you know what? They loved it.
Absolutely. I have this really big calendar. It basically has like the whole year in one big sheet. Today, one of my students was like, oh, my gosh, we're almost done. And I was like, yeah, we sure are. And I was going to cross off the previous day. He was like, wait, can I cross it off?
Yes.
And I was like, sure, go ahead. That, you know, inevitably started a chain of like, no, I want to cross it off. I want to cross it off. So I was like, well, there's like 20 something days left. There's about 20 something of you. I was like, how about each of you can cross off one day each day that we get there?
That's such a lovely reminder, actually, of like, sometimes it's the little things in life, in school, that are really nice moments, right?
Exactly.
Okay. This next activity is really impactful and deceptively simple, writing letters. And there's a couple of different ways to do this. Wendy Turner has her second graders write letters sharing advice for next year's rising second graders. It's a reflection for the students, and it's also a snapshot for the teacher of where the kids are with their writing skills at the end of the year. And there's actually research behind this one. In a 2019 study from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, researchers found that incoming middle schoolers experienced powerful improvements when they read letters from older students about their anxieties, about fitting into school, and their eventual success. Jeremiah, what do you think is happening here?
I think at the end of the day, it just boils down to kids trust each other more than they trust adults. Like it is just that like built-in rapport of like, you've experienced this and like you've experienced this within a relatively close amount of time.
I always think about Charlie Brown. You know how the teacher in the Charlie Brown cartoons was always just going, wah, 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 wah. And I'm like, that nailed it.
Right.
For older students, former K-12 educator Todd Finley has a different spin on this. He suggests having kids write letters to their future selves. And his prompt is very specific.
Have the students focus on a moment where they worked through an obstacle to remind them how resilient they were way back when.
Yeah, that is so important. I think reflection is really where students have the opportunity to grow internally the most. And it kind of feels like a really good lead in into, hey, set a goal for yourself for that next year, you know?
Yes, I totally agree. Okay, we just talked about how to get students to reflect on the past school year. Here's an activity that helps kids imagine the future. Former middle school teacher Rachel Furman has her students create vision boards with their future goals. And she says there's a lot of room for creativity and personal expression.
I've had students put all kinds of things on there. I mean, I have students that will put like a picture of a dog because they want a dog. But then I'll have kids that will put a picture of a doctor because that's a career that they want to do. And I think it's a really cool way for kids to just sort of close out the year and just trying to prompt them to think about how they want to set up their next school year.
Jeremiah, how would you wrap up this activity? What would your next step be here?
As an English teacher, I'm a huge fan of like presentations. And so I would love to have like each kid take like a minute to a minute and a half and like present to the class of like, hey, here's my vision board. Here's why I put this on here. Here's what this means. Any way that gets them learning more about each other, I think works really well.
Now, here's a similar idea for older kids. Veteran teacher Kathy Collier makes a class book that's basically a collection of creative work made by students. Kathy says that she invites kids to create one piece for the book, like a poem or an illustration. Then she makes copies of the class book and everybody gets to take one home. Do you have any other ideas for types of projects that a class could create together to celebrate the year?
When I was in high school, we read The Great Gatsby.
Classic.
Classic. Our end of year project was actually to throw a Great Gatsby themed party.
I love this.
And so, yeah, I remember the teacher was like, anything goes as long as it is like in the text. And so some people were in charge of food, people were in charge of decorations, music, flyers. So that
was this an actual party?
Yeah, like the last day of school, like we brought all of our stuff. Like we brought food. Like I remember I made like little cucumber sandwiches or something.
Did you guys dress up as well?
We did. So we had a dress code that we were in charge of creating and we had to dress up nicely. We had a YouTube playlist that they had on in the background. It was a really good time. It was really fun.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. After the break, we'll hear about two interactive reflection activities and we'll walk through a fun, low prep review game for all ages. Okay, be right back.
Do you wish you could spend less time searching for content and more time using it to support your students? Check out Homeroom, Edutopia's hyper-personalized feed designed specifically for educators like you. You'll get stories, strategies, and resources that match your interests, grade level, and teaching goals. It's like your own custom dashboard for smarter, faster planning. And it's totally free. Explore it now at edutopia.org/homeroom.
Okay. These next two build on the reflection activities that we've already discussed, but they are more interactive. Both of these come from Todd Finley, by the way. Let's start with hot seat exit interviews. Here's how it works. You put all of your chairs in a circle and designate one chair as the hot seat. Then each kid takes a turn answering a reflective question in 60 seconds or less. Here's Todd.
You can use prompts like, what advice would you give your first day of school self? Or, what do you wish your next teacher knew about you? I find that the best questions are ones that you really want to know the answers to.
Jeremiah, what guardrails would you recommend to make this one run smoothly?
I think a couple of things is, one, I would just have a really clear conversation of like, hey, this is not a truth or dare type of moment. Like, ooh, this is not a time for you to find out all the tea. You can ask questions directly relating to like our school year academics. Really giving them guidelines of like questions you can and can't ask.
You know, I can imagine teachers even brainstorming a list of 5, 10, 20 questions with the kids ahead of this hot seat activity. And then when it's your turn to ask a question, you could choose from that list.
Right. Bringing student engagement into that process.
Yeah. If you have a couple of kids who you know have a hard time being put on the spot, Todd has another similar activity that works well with middle and high school students. He calls it success circles. You group students into two concentric circles. Students in the inner circle face the kids in the outer circle. Then each pair takes turn responding to questions like, what were your top three things you learned this year? Or what is one thing you learned about yourself this year? Here's Todd again.
If you walk the perimeter and eavesdrop, I guarantee you'll overhear some beautiful ahas.
Jeremiah, do you think either of these activities could work well with elementary age kids, maybe with some adaptations?
Yeah, I think they could both work. I've done activities like this with students before. There's two rings, the inside rings, like moving or rotating, and they're having a discussion. And so I think it's just the prompts itself. Like, we would need to make sure that they are answerable within that time frame for an elementary student. I feel like sometimes elementary students can get overwhelmed by a question that maybe they don't understand.
So just to clarify for listeners, with those success circles, then we have one of the circles rotating so that the kids are experiencing different pairings.
Right.
Okay. We've got just a couple more ideas to talk about. Review games are also a great option at the end of the school year. Jeremiah, have you ever played Scattergories?
I have, and I'm not great at it.
Okay, so high school ELA teacher Jason DeHart came up with a fun version of Scattergories that helps kids review his class material. First, he chooses a topic from one of his units, then he randomly selects a letter, and students have 2 minutes to write down as many words or phrases connected to that topic, but all of the answers have to start with that randomly selected letter. Here's Jason.
The thing that makes it really nice for the end of the year is it's pretty easy to assemble. You're doing something fairly quick, 2-minute rounds with some time in between to check answers. And so you can get through a pretty good amount of content in an interactive way.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so fun. I might actually try that this week and see how that goes.
Okay, you'll have to report back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only way, if at all, I would adapt it is maybe just like the explanation of the rules, because I think it can get a little complicated. I would also want to play myself, and I would want to get them all out.
Right. Okay, this next activity is all about helping teachers. I'm talking about surveys that gather feedback from students to help you improve your teaching or your class. And this can be very simple. High school computer science teacher Vicki Davis uses an anonymous Google form to survey her students, and then she follows up with a class discussion to dig deeper.
That kind of helps inform the conversation, because I'll say things like, oh, X percent of you said this was the best. What was that? Or I'll say, hey, a few of you really didn't like when we did this assignment. Tell me about that.
Jeremiah, it is such a good practice to survey students at the start of the year to learn more about them. Have you ever surveyed your students at the end of the year to get feedback?
Yeah, that's actually something I do every year.
Now, this is kind of a vulnerable space for teachers inviting kids to submit these reviews anonymously. How do you grapple with that?
I think part of it is just knowing, like, I am not perfect and I definitely have made mistakes, and this is a chance for me to really look at it and own up to it. I think if I expect students to be able to take my critiques and feedback without taking it too personally, I should be able to do the same, especially as an adult with a fully developed prefrontal cortex. There's also an importance of taking it with a grain of salt, because these are kids after all, and if you catch them on a bad day, they're going to tear you to shreds, right? And so I think it's finding that balance of like, okay, I know that this is not true, or I know that this is a misinterpretation, a miscommunication, versus this is something I really should work on.
And Jeremiah, just to clarify, are you also using anonymous surveys?
I do two. One is like a more academic survey, which is not anonymous, because I use those to like write report card comments. But the one that is about like the teacher and a little bit more like sensitive stuff that maybe students might not feel comfortable sharing out loud, that is anonymous.
Jeremiah, I have one last question. What are you most looking forward to this summer?
A lot. I am very, very excited to get back into my sand volleyball league.
Ooh.
So there's this like sports group that provides like a safe space for queer folks. And like last year was my first year playing sand volleyball with them, and it was really fun. So I want to do that again this year. And then on the more lazy side of things, I am going to be playing a whole lot of Pokemon this summer on the Switch. I think I'm just excited and ready for the school year to be done, just ready for the break.
Yeah. Shout out to teachers who are hanging in there. I remember those last few weeks, they can be tough. Here are three things I'm taking away from this conversation. One, whether you're planning a celebration, looking for an engaging way to review class content, or reflect on growth, keep it simple. Look for small things that feel special for kids, like going outside to collect pine cones, crossing off days on your calendar, or for older kids, shifting the work of planning a class party onto them. Two, there's no need to change the schedule. Most of these activities fit neatly into your usual routines. Wendy Turner does her letter writing activity during her ELA block, so she's keeping the inevitable chaos of these last weeks to a minimum. And three, the end of the year is a natural time for students to look back on what they've learned and contemplate their future goals. So it's a great opportunity for reflection. You could try letter writing, vision boards, or something interactive, like Todd Finley's hot seat interviews and success circles. Bringing reflection into the end of the year is so important for surfacing all of the growth your students have experienced while building those metacognitive muscles. And that's an opportunity you don't want to miss. Special thanks to Jeremiah Kim. He taught 4th and 5th grade in Kansas City for 7 years before moving up to teach middle school ELA this past year. Thanks also to all the expert teachers in our community who contributed to this episode. Kathy Collier, Vicki Davis, Jason DeHart, Todd Finley, Rachel Furman, Alisa Alteri-Shea, and Wendy Turner. As always, we'll link to their Edutopia articles in our episode notes so you can learn more about their end-of-year activities. If you liked this conversation, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a rating and a review. This helps others find our show. This episode was produced by Anne Noisani and edited by me. Our engineer is Doug Keeley, and our supervising editors are Sarah Gonser and Steve Merrill. I'm Kristen Leong. We'll see you again soon.